we're continuing our review of the book of Rav Shalom, the Gan HaShalom, on Shalom Bayit. And we are on page 27 of the Hebrew version. Yesterday we learned the importance of review and of going over, of studying the book and keeping it close to us because of the difficulties in fulfilling the mitzvahs of Shalom Bayit. There's a big Yetzirah against it. Rav Arash continues. There's one additional thing that we need to know very well. When a person comes to read this book, a person should know that this book is not simply a book of advice. That through learning the advice in the book, a person, a man, will be able to come to Shalom Bayit. Ela zehu sefer shel tikun atzmi shel abal. Rather, this is a book of tikun atzmi, self-improvement, self-perfection. It's a workbook. It's not an advice book. Don't think that I can pick up some good tips, put them into practice, and everything's good. Page 63, buy your wife a bunch of flowers. Tick that box, and hey ho, Shalom Bayit. No. Rav Arish says, sorry. This book is tikkun atzmi. I need to work on myself. The only way I'm going to get to Shalom Bayit is I'm working on myself. Hashem didn't put me into the world so that I could work out the scams, the loopholes, the shortcuts. It does not help me at all. It looks good. It looks like the easy option. But it's not what Hashem wants. And it's not going to be what's good for us. Hashem gave us a lack of Shalom Bayit, like any other lack he gives us in our life, in order to help us. Not so that we can find an easy way out. If there was an easy way out to go to the Rav and get a bracha, if I could just go to the Rav and get a bracha for Shalom Bayit, and now I've got Shalom Bayit, I've done nothing. It was a complete waste of time. What is the point? I'm not here in this world in order to find an easy answer, to find an easy way out. I'm here in this world to work on myself, to work on my neshama, to work on my midot, principally to work on my midot, to work on my emunah, to come closer to your Hashem. All that is hard work. But according to the effort is the reward. If I put in the effort, and I work on myself, I get Shalom Bayit. But the truth is, the Shalom Bayit that I get in this world is not the goal. It's not the goal at all. It's just the measuring stick to see how I'm doing. It's just what is going to help me perfect my neshama. Because of the lack of Shalom Bayit. And when I achieve Shalom Bayit, although that's wonderful, that's only in this world. And we know that this world is temporary. And the best possible enjoyment that a person can have in this world is nothing compared to the smallest enjoyment of the world to come. So to achieve Shalom Bayit in this world is not the end. That's not the goal. It's simply the measure by which Hashem is going to teach us how to work on ourselves, how to perfect our neshama. So this is a workbook. It's not a book of easy answers. It's hard work. Baruch Hashem, it's hard work. But this is the hard work. This is the hard work that's going to lead to Shalom Bayit. and it's going to lead to all the great things which result from Shalombayit. And the greatest thing that's going to result is that I fix myself. Arish says, in this book are instructions from which a person can come to a complete tikkun, tikkun for themselves. So whilst I might think I'm working on keeping my wife happy, I'm actually not. I mean, I'm doing that as well, but I'm actually working on fixing myself through making my wife happy, fixing myself.
Is it because the wife tells you where something needs to improve?
It means that,
I don't know,
in order for me to make my wife happy, in order for that to happen, I can only do that by fixing myself. For example, how do I make my wife happy? When I stop being arrogant and thinking that I know everything, and I stop acting with a bit more humility. Now she's relaxed, now she's calm, now she's happy, right? So to achieve her happiness, I can only do that, in this example, through being more humble, for getting rid of my arrogance. So although I'm not going out, I'm not starting out with an intention to work on myself, that's actually what's happening. The more I achieve Shalom Bayit, is only because I'm actually working on myself. Right? The reason that I'm not criticizing my wife anymore is because I'm letting it go. I'm cancelling my own opinion. I've got a great opinion, and I want to tell you, and I want to show you how right I am. And what have I got to do? Zip, nothing, close it. I have to get rid of it. I have to just drop it. But it's going to be great. Let me tell you how great I am. I've worked it all out. It's brilliant. I'm fantastic. I'm going to tell you all about it. No, I'm not going to tell you anything about it. I'm going to drop it all completely. Why? Because I'm not important. What I want is not important. I've got to do that in order to have Shalom Bayit, which ends up that I'm actually really working on myself. I come out of the process at the end a completely different person. Why? Because I'm focusing on my wife. I'm actually not focusing on me. If I stand there for trying to focus on me, if Hashem said, don't worry about the Shalom Bayit thing, don't worry about getting married, just fix yourself. Right? Because that's the purpose here. Right? Hashem doesn't need a wife. Right? Hashem could have just said, just work on yourself. There are Torah commandments on Midot. Work on yourself, be humble. But it doesn't work that way. Because we don't work on ourselves, we're not interested. We can't sit there and decide, today I'm going to be humble, today I'm going to be humble, today it's not going to happen. There's nothing that I can work with. But if I know that I need to keep my wife happy, that I've got a job to make sure I don't say anything bad to her, to make sure I sit and I listen to her and I spend time with her and I listen to her problems and I don't tell her any of mine, then I've got a framework, then I've got a job to do, and then I can actually work on my humility through this process, through the fact that Hashem has given me a job to do in the world, my job in this world to make sure my wife's happy. The end result, I completely fix my own neshama. But only because I'm thinking about someone else. If I'm thinking about myself, I don't really care about myself so much. I don't care about myself. We have a problem that we have a very low opinion of ourselves, and we have a very low opinion of our own worth, and we therefore, for ourselves, we actually don't do a lot. I can share with you the reason why I became frum. The reason why I became Chozer B'Teshuvah some 20 years ago, nearly, is I met my wife. My wife was a from lady, Baruch Hashem. What she saw in me at that time, I don't know. But Hashem obviously pulled the clouds over her eyes sufficiently that we hooked up together. And we had lots of very, very interesting discussions about Yahadut, about Judaism, about Halakha, about... And I was the enlightened Jew. I was Mr. Modern Day, 20th Century, who needs laws of kashrut when you've got a fridge, right? It's only to do with trichinosis, and we don't have that anymore. And you know, I had all the answers. Well, I thought I did. I mean, it's all nonsense. But, right? I was also a lawyer, and still am, so I could argue. I can argue anything. Right? The good thing about being a lawyer is it doesn't matter which side of the case you're on. You can just argue. You can, right? That's my job, to argue whichever side. It doesn't have to be that I actually believe it, but to argue with the point. So top. So we had a lot of good arguments, even whether I believe that, didn't believe it. It doesn't matter. Just to be right, right? We're going to see in the book. Never try and be right. If you want a person wants to be right, the truth goes out the window. Truth is the first casualty. Truth goes out the window if you just want to be right. So I was in that mindset. Anyway, we spoke a lot about Judaism, etc. I was never convinced that it was worthwhile for me to take on the burden, the yoke of Torah. It's hard to be a Jew. Got to do all these things. One day we had one of our many discussions, might call it arguments, discussions on the same subject. But this day was different. This day, my wife came up with an argument that just floored me completely. I was on the floor and I had no response whatsoever, and that was it. My life has changed. My life has changed completely. She said one thing, she didn't even realize, obviously Hashem put it into her head to say, now was the time, I've been softened up enough, I've been on the ropes long enough, and it was ready for the punch. And you know what the punch was that I couldn't deal with? She said, what about your children? I had no response. I had absolutely no response. For me, I was prepared for myself. It's tough. I'll take whatever comes, whatever's going to be with me. I'll face the consequences. It's my choice, my life. Nobody's really going to care about me. My children, oi. I actually really care about my unborn children to be, Baruch Hashem. Right? That I care about. That, for them to grow up Jewish, psh, yeah. Once I saw that was a truth, then the truth hit me that yes, for sure. For them, I wanted them to be Jewish. I wanted them to grow up as Jews. And then I couldn't escape the truth. Right? The truth obligates. The truth obligates a person. When a person admits the truth, they're now obligated to that truth. Once I'd admitted to myself the truth that actually I wanted my kids to grow up as Jews, there was only a very short space of time to admitting that actually, truth, deep down myself, I actually wanted to grow up myself as a Jew. Right? But what was the problem? Up until that point, I didn't believe in myself. For me, who cares about me? Who cares about me? I'm not important. We have a big issue on that, of realizing our own importance, our own self-worth. Largely it was something that was, for many of us, probably most of us, truth be told, came to us as children. As children we learned that we weren't important. That was how we grew up, that's the experience that Hashem put us through in our own childhood. That we're not so important. Other things are far more important than us. And we grow up with that idea that we're actually really not important. And what we think doesn't matter. Our opinion doesn't matter. No one's really listening to us. And we take that with us and we carry it with us. That's something that we need to work on as we get older, to realize just how important we are, how important we are to Hashem, and what our actions mean in the world and how valuable they are, everything we do, right? We need to cross that bridge to get there. One of the reasons why Hashem gives us a wife is because for ourselves we couldn't do it. For ourselves, I'm not going to work on myself. For my wife, I'm prepared to work on it. She's not going to let me either. right? But for my wife, it's worth it. For my wife, I'm actually going to make the effort. I'm going to make the effort to be kind, to be more humble, to be more generous, to work on those me dots, to stop being arrogant. I'm even going to work on me dots of the really tough stuff. Shmirat Anayim, right? Guarding my eyes, not thinking about other women, not looking at other women. For myself, if I'm just told for myself not to do it, I haven't got the strength. I haven't got the willpower just to do it, not for me. Oh. But to do it for someone else, that I can do. I've actually got a great ratzon to give. Right, we're created in the image of Hashem. And we have a great ratzon, a great desire to give to others. We really want to give. That's the key thing. Right? The Gemara says, more than the calf wants to feed, the mother wants to give. And it's true. Right? A parent loves their child more than the child loves their parent. It's a given. It's a fact. We want to give more than we actually want to take for ourselves. We also take because we have a Yetzer Hara, etc. But truth deep down, our deepest desire. And that is a big Yetzer, big advice to actually help us work on ourselves. That's why Shalom Bayit is really working on ourselves. But via the template of doing it for someone else, doing it for someone that we love. Right? That connection, that bond, that desire to give ourselves up for them is what enables us to break through a lot of our bad midot. So Rav Shalom says this book is not a book of advice. This book is Tikkun Atzmi. This book, the whole concept of Shalom Bayit, is working on ourselves. V'kol ma she'tikkun ha'adam sodev sediv ha'inyan shel Shalom Bayit hu mipnei she'rak Shalom Bayit hu ha'moded ha'amiti ladat. Im ha'adam tiken, ma she'tzarich la'tiken, or she'adayin lo ma'alataken, yesh lo ma'alataken. So he says, the Indian of Shalom Bayit is there to show us whether we're actually getting there or not. Our Shalom Bayit is our indicator of how we know if we're reaching our tikkun. If I'm not married, I don't know if I'm doing good in my midot. If I'm only sitting in the Beit Midrash and hanging out with buddies and don't know what else I'm doing, shopping in the mall, I have no clue whether or not my midots are really where they should be. I have no feedback. So my friend tells me if I'm being a real idiot. Maybe, if I'm lucky, if I've got a good friend that will tell me that. But what's he really going to tell me? And what does he really know? Nothing. But Shalom Bayit is going to be my true measure, my true feedback of how I'm actually doing. Then I'm really going to know where I'm holding.
שהרי רק לפי חוסר שלום בית שלו, הוא יכול לדעת בעזרת הדרכה שבספר זה מה עוד יש לו לתקן.
Only through the lack of Shalom Bayit is a person then going to know what he's got left to achieve. And then he can use the book to find what the tikkun is that he needs to do. How he needs to perfect himself. Why is my wife upset with me? What do I need to work on?
ובפרט שהדבר העיקר שאדם צריך לתקן ולקנות במי חיותו וזה עולם.
And the main thing Rav Arish says that a person needs to achieve in this world, הוא מידת אמונה וענווה. It's the midot, the characteristics of emuna and anava, humility.
ולזכור למידת ענווה ואמונה אי אפשר אלא על ידי שעובדים על שלום בית.
Person cannot achieve those two midot without שלום בית. כי זה פשוט בלתי אפשרי שיהיה לאדם שלום בית אם אין לו לפחות איזו נקודה קטנה של אמונה וענווה. It's impossible for a person to have שלום בית if they don't have the smallest part of emuna and humility.
והוא גם עובד להגדילה ולהעמיקה בלי הפסק. And then he needs to work on it, to grow it, to deepen it without a pause. שזוכה לאמונה לאהבה בשלמות, in order that he will come to אמונה and humility completely. שיש לי שלום בית מושלם, because only then he will have complete שלום בית. Our shalom bayit grows with us. A person has shalom bayit at the beginning of their marriage, even though they haven't yet grown very much at all, because they really haven't started to work on themselves. And then things start to break down a little bit, and there's a little bit of tension, and they argue over what color the cups and saucers we're going to buy, and what the plates. And you want red, and I really don't like red, I like green. We argue about it, but then we make up, and we... So first of all, we have some little difficulties. And then we resolve them, because I give in. And I say, no, fine, if you want the red ones, you have the red ones. You're free. And now we're back to shalom bayit. Everything's good. Why? Because for that level, I did what I needed to do. I nullified my own opinion, I gave up green cups, and I said, no, have red. Yofi, I passed the test, the initial test. Hashem's easy to start off with. And the initial test, I passed. Yofi, now we're back to shalom bayit. But then a bit later on, it gets a bit harder. I don't like this neighborhood. I want to move house. I quite like this house. Whatever it is, the tests get harder. And then I need to work on that level. And then if I achieve that level of what I need to achieve, mostly in humility and emunah, they're the two midot, then I'll be back to shalom bayit again, and everything's good again, until the next test comes along. But at each test, my shalom bayit grows with me. Right? What Hashem wants of me is now greater. Rav Arush explains that even though Rav Arush is the holy Jew that we know a little bit of how holy he is, and that he wrote this wonderful book, and he's for sure keeping all of these Torahs, he still explains that his wife will be upset with him and rebuke him and shout at him. Why? To move him to the next level, so that he can continue to move up. Wherever we're holding in shalom bayit, there's where to go. Right? Because at no point have we perfected our neshama. If we have, there's no point being here anymore. No point being in the world if our neshama is perfect. So at every point, a person should expect that there's somewhere left for them to grow. And the place that's going to come, that they're going to know that, is going to be in the shalom bayit arena. That's not something that I should then despair. I'm never going to have shalom bayit. No, the truth is, I'm never going to have 100% complete shalom bayit, perfect, forever. No, I'm actually going to have, Bezrat Hashem, with the help of Rav Arush's advice and with everything we write in the book, I'm going to have very good shalom bayit most of the time. But when Hashem wants me to grow more, he's going to show me that there's still areas I need to work on, because I'm not yet a tzaddik. I'm not yet a perfect tzaddik. Baruch Hashem, there's still places for me to go. And through this book, through understanding what shalom bayit means, through understanding what my wife is telling me when she's rebuking me, or when things aren't working so well between us, through those messages, I can understand that Hashem is talking to me. Hashem wants me to move. Hashem wants me to grow. And it's a big kindness. And through that, I'm going to achieve my tikkun. Bezrat Hashem, with the advice in this book that we're going to read, we're all going to merit to increase and improve our shalom bayit, which means to increase and improve our own midot, and which means to achieve what Hashem wants us to achieve in this world. Amen.